Pat, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you as a guest on the Heart of Connection podcast. I'm your host, Mark Randall. And it's lovely to have an opportunity to talk to someone who has had such a history in the emotional release and transpersonal work over many, many years. And it's an honour to be sitting here with you to have this conversation. Just by way of intro, would you mind giving a brief introduction on how it came to be that how did Pat Quinn get into this work? And
well, it's a bit of a long story, really. And when you mentioned about heart connection, I thought really that has been the theme that has run right through my life. At 79, it's been a reasonably long life so far, and I haven't got any ideas of going away at this point of time. But it probably all started back with my family of origin. While my parents did have their limitations, I knew that I was loved, and I was an only child. And at the time of about 13, I came to the realization that I was really loved by God. And believe it or not, I then fell in love with God. And I wanted to spend a life of love. And I thought at that time the best way to do that was to become a Catholic sister. And so I started to think about where I would go and which group I would join. And at the age of 17, I had found the place to go. But I might say something about something that happened to me at 13. I was at secondary school in Melbourne, Santa Maria, and we had a retreat for 3 days. And there was a priest called Father Sylvester. He was German. And he came and he preached a number of times. And every time he started his preaching, in his heavy German accent, he would say, "Find the source of love and be yourself, all love, day by day." Now, those words have never left my thoughts. And I knew that that's what my life was going to be all about. Finding God, the source of love, and being a loving presence to other people throughout life. So I joined the sisters at 17, and in all these years, I have never regretted the life path that I was on.
And the sisters were just back in Tasmania not long ago, is that correct? You
did a pilgrimage? That's true, yes. I led a group on pilgrimage because our sisters were founded in 1944, and it was 75 years that we were celebrating, and so this was one way of honouring our history. And so we travelled by bus and we visited places of significance in the history of our order, and it was a very meaningful experience to do that pilgrimage.
Wow.
Yes.
The Heart of Connection. How do you connect to your heart? How do you connect to yourself in that process?
I guess I've always had a passion for self-knowledge, self-awareness. And I think right through my adult life, I wanted to understand more of what was inside me. And I took every possible avenue I could, and they were a bit limited back in those days as a religious sister. You didn't have buckets of money to go and do things. But anything that I could get within reach and that was reasonable, I did it as a way of trying to get to know me. And then I was very fortunate. When I was 39, my religious order gave me the opportunity to go overseas to study. And in that course, I learned a lot more about counselling skills and supporting people in their finding connection with themselves. And, of course, I was always wanting a deeper connection with myself. And then when I came back from overseas, I went to a place called Living Water Centre in the Blue Mountains. And there I found a certain methods for exploring one's inner world that I had not met before, And that took me into a much deeper understanding of myself. And so that connection with self seemed so important, and it hasn't stopped. Like at 79, I am still passionate about really knowing myself and really connecting with myself.
When you do connect to yourself, what do you experience in there?
It's sort of like connecting to my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, and I know it's not for everybody, but for me, my relationship with God is really important, really quite significant. And even though I'm not thinking about God all day, not at all, but when it comes to the crunch, that's the base that I go to. And to me, it feels like a solid base.
And energetically, when you hit that base, when you touch that base, what happens to you energetically? Can you describe what happens to you energetically?
It's a sense of sureness, clarity, and a certain level of peace. Yeah.
Is there a freedom?
Oh, yes.
What's that freedom like?
Well, it's a freedom to know my truth, but not a freedom to just do what I want. Like being a member of a religious order, I can't just say, oh, well, look, I'm going to go on a trip around the world. So it's not about just doing what might be momentarily attractive. It's really about doing what's meaningful. And like somebody said to me, you know, now that you're getting older, you don't have to do all the work you were doing, all the counselling work you're doing over the years. You know, you could just play croquet or play cards. And I'm thinking to myself, why would I do that? I want a meaningful life. And to me, it's about service. And the group that I joined are called Missionary Sisters of Service. And it's like service is in my veins. And I meet a professional woman at the pool regularly. I go there into a therapy pool to keep more mobile. And she's a lovely lady, and we have lots of sharing of ideas. But she's always asking, you know, what's happened for you today? And I tell her all the things I've been doing. And then I say to her, and what have you been doing? And she says, oh, nothing really, just sitting in the house with my cat. I love being with my cat. I served people for 25 years, and she did. She did a wonderful thing serving people. She said, I did that for 25 years, so now I don't have to do anything. And I don't say anything to her, but I just think to myself, what a wasted life. You know, you can at least pick up a telephone and connect with people, even if you don't physically want to go out of the place. There are so many ways of, you can do it on the internet, you can do it with your emails, you can connect with people and you can support people. But then that's my DNA and it's not her DNA.
And when you're cancelling, in that presence, is there a connection in that presence?
Yes. That does require almost like 50-50 attention span, that I really need to be present with the client, really listening to their story, but then also being connected with myself. And that's really important, because if I'm disconnected from myself, my agenda could actually inhibit what can happen for the client. So I need to be self-aware. If they're talking about a challenge that they've got in their life, and I've got a similar challenge, maybe in a totally different way, I need to be really registering that and think, oh, you know, I could have a bit of bias there. I need to be a bit careful that I don't impose my story on theirs. Because that can happen, and that happens with friends, doesn't it, you know? Yeah.
When you're listening Is your heart listening?
Oh, yes. And in fact, over the years, I've been the director of a counselling centre where we trained counsellors. And there were probably about 200 people over the years who graduated from that course. And a wonderful course where they not only learned counselling skills, but they really explored their own depths. They came to understand themselves and the dynamics of what was going on inside themselves. And also, we taught them that this is a lifelong journey, that you don't get to the end of a 3-year training and suddenly you're enlightened and you know everything about yourself and everything about everybody else, but rather it's all part of your journey. But I would say to them at the end of their 3 years training, you have learnt so much about yourself. You have learnt so much around counselling skills and how to be with clients. But I can reduce all that you've gained into a simple phrase. Be a loving presence to people. And that's what I think it's all about. A loving presence. And really, as I think about it, it doesn't really matter as a counsellor what techniques you're using. If you are there as a loving presence, the client will experience that and they will trust you and they will feel safe in exploring their depths and resolving their issues.
And do they connect to that loving presence?
I don't know, but I just think, well, just do my bit, be a loving presence.
It's creating a loving space.
Yes.
It's like a holding space.
Yes.
For them to feel safe and to explore the wounds that inside?
Yes, yes.
Is it important for us to connect to those inner wounds?
Oh, yes. If we don't register what our wounds are, we're actually going to affect other people in negative ways, and particularly if we're counsellors. We need to know our own wounding. And sometimes that takes years to heal those wounds. It's not something that happens in 5 minutes.
Yeah, the quick fix scenario.
Oh, yes. There are so many courses today where, you know, people could just do a weekend and they think all their life wounds are healed. That's not going to happen overnight. It takes years.
The more you've experienced your healing of your inner wounds, has that transformed your connection to yourself, to others and to God?
Oh, yes, yes. Only just recently I was on a 9-day retreat, a silent retreat, and I like to do a lot of writing. It just helps me with my reflection. And as I was writing, I realised that how much has happened within me in regard to my mother. My mother was a very broken person and she had had a tragic childhood. And that really shaped her life's journey and she was very, very wounded. And even as a small child, with my father away at war, I became her primary carer and support. And that was very challenging and I think was quite wounding for me. But what was interesting was I learnt so early to be attentive to the other and to support the other. And I'm sure that that's what took me into my vocation really, about caring for other people and supporting other people. But I realised in this most recent retreat, I thought all that healing around my mother in regard to my relationship with her and how that impacted on me, all that healing is done and all I can feel is love and appreciation for her and for her in her woundedness. Because if it hadn't been for her woundedness, I might have grown into a very selfish adult. But instead, I grew into an adult who wanted to serve others.
Oh, what a lovely story.
Yeah.
And how is the connection, is the term all it is it can be a God, it can, for some people, it can be a universe. How has the inner journey work helped your connection to the God that you fell in love with at 13 or 17?
Oh, quite profoundly. Quite profoundly. In fact, the only times in my life that I've actually known ecstasy has been on a few occasions in sessions of breath work, when I've actually felt God's energy running right through my body and I was in total bliss, wishing for that experience never to pass. But of course it did.
Yeah.
It was, you know, a short span of time. To me, I could have stayed there for a lifetime. But it was in that very deep inner work that I found God at a level that I had never experienced before.
Did your body radiate with that? Did every cell in your body radiate?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yes.
What happens to you? What happened? Can you describe what happened to your sense of self in that space?
It was as if I was totally possessed by God and radiating out God's energy. Yeah.
God's love?
Oh, yes. Yes.
If we were to radiate that energy out, what would that impact have on Mother Earth?
Oh, it would transform what's happening to Mother Earth. And I feel so much sadness when I look at the destruction of Mother Earth, the rape of Mother Earth, where what seems to drive that sort of energy is really about finance and power. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we about to change that?
Well, I would love to change the whole scenario, but all I can do is do what I can in my small radius. And as Carl Jung said, if we want to transform the world, we start with transforming ourselves.
And the transforming yourself, how do we invite people to start that, or is it up to the individual to invite themselves to start that process?
Well, probably both ways. Sometimes a person will come along to a counsellor and they will have some initial issue that they want to deal with, whether it might be a broken relationship, it might be a death of somebody close, and so they're just looking for something that is short-term to fix a problem. And I can remember a woman coming to me once and she said, look, I'm in this terrible relationship, but she said, you're the expert and you can tell me all the things to do so that I can deal with this man, you know, in other words, so that I can control him. And I had to try and explain to her that my role was simply to help her find her own answers, that I didn't have the answers to, you know, to all her problems, but I would try and support her in that. But so initially people come maybe with a certain issue. Most people come with an issue. But then once they sort of start to look deeper into that, and they will sometimes come to the realization that this current issue which they're having in their adult years is actually connected back to some of their life story when they were children. And that somehow, unconsciously, they're repeating the same sort of wounding that happened back there in the current relationships in their life. And once they start to realise that, they know that they need to do more, they need to do deeper work on themselves, that it's not something that's going to be all over in a weekend workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the deeper you go, and that connection, Do people then radiate off and does it become a sort of a joining of the presences and the connection?
I don't quite know how to answer that, but I'd say in my own life I'm so much more peaceful now in my life and more connected with myself.
And in that process, what impact does that have on your wellness?
Oh, certainly, yes. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, yes. It's very positive, yeah.
Freeing, peaceful.
Oh, yes.
Does that then enable you to connect to your source, your essence, your spirit essence?
I think so. And that's what gives me such joy to go away to a retreat, which I do each year. And I choose to do that for 9 days. And that is a golden opportunity. And I guess I would really encourage people to keep a journal, at least that, so that they're connecting each day. They think back over the day and they think about the events of the day. And it's not just writing about the external events, like I went to the supermarket and I did my shopping, but meaningful encounters, events that have happened that have touched them. Yes, it's more things that have had some inner impact. And that's a beginning to get to know yourself and your responses, yeah.
And the more you know yourself, are you then able to let go of those responses?
Of course.
And what's the energy? Is it a source beyond ourself that comes through to help us let that go?
Well, for me, I would see that as God.
Okay.
But I don't preach that. Like, my work over the years has been to welcome everybody, whatever their path, whatever their belief system. They might be atheist, but to welcome them, because to me it's about each person finding their own spiritual self, in whatever shape or form that takes. Their own spirituality, and not, I never try to impose mine on people. And I'm very slow at times to even use the word God, because for some people, they are uncomfortable with that.
What's it like for you, having run the centre, started the centre, to watch that transformation as people, as you're starting to witness and observe people reaching that essence, that spiritual essence of self?
Yeah. It's been absolutely amazing. And I've noticed this, like, sometimes I met a woman once who came up to me, and I'd forgotten that I even worked with her, and I think she had a couple of sessions with me. And she said, you know, ever since I came to see you, my life has totally changed for the better. And I thought, my God, in 2 sessions, I mean, I could hardly believe that. But it's when people have done more intensive work on themselves, and I noticed this particularly that for those who were doing their 3-year counsellor training course, and they began that with a 6-month course of getting to know themselves, and then entered into the 3-year training. And that a number of those people said to me as they graduated, Pat, you've given me back my life. And that is so rewarding to hear that. That I haven't done it, but I've provided the venue, the space, very good staff persons, and a sense of safety, where they've actually made their own journey and they have found themselves. You've given me my life.
What's in that? Can you describe what's in that safety?
Our safety is about having a team that people can trust. So I've always been very, selective about who might be on the team. And it certainly means having rules and regulations when you've got a crowd of people gathered to make sure that the timetable goes to time. I mean, that might sound trivial, but to me, it's really important to have a container where people can be sure of what's happening and when it's happening. And also being very sensitive to the people. Like, as a team, as a staff team, we would gather at the end of a workshop, at the end of a training workshop, we would gather and we would talk about what has been happening, and we would debrief with one another and really make sure that that the right steps were taken, and if we needed to follow up on something. I felt it was really important that people would have our phone number, so that if 3 days after a workshop they started to feel rather vulnerable, that they could ring up and get a bit more support on the telephone. I felt that that ongoing connection was really important. Like, you see sometimes people come in from, even from international people, fly in from another continent, and they run a workshop and take people very deeply, and then they disappear off the planet. And those people can sometimes be left in a very open space, and they really need that follow-up. So I have felt that that has been extremely important. Mm.
And to just be able to hold that.
Yep.
An incredible presence.
Yep. Yep.
How rich is that presence in you?
Well, it's the foundation of who I am, really. Yeah.
Do you shine in it?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you, if I asked your heart that question, how would your heart answer that question?
Oh, it would say yes, definitely.
It would say yes.
Yeah.
It's just that inner glow, that inner essence.
Yeah.
What a beautiful connection.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Yes.
And thank you for sharing that gift with thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
Pat, in the podcast, I've asked people, is there a piece of advice that you would like to offer young girls following in your footsteps, young boys following on footsteps? What would that piece of advice be?
It would be, get to know yourself. That's where to start.
And getting to know yourself, the positive aspects of yourself, but also the not so positive aspects,
yes,
the
yes,
shadow side of ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah. There's all the different sides of the self, whether they're positive or negative. I assume my experience, they're designed to self-preserve the sense of self.
Yes.
That fragile, vulnerable aspect of self.
Yes, yes.
Rather than react from the shadow, the negatives that we put.
Yeah.
It's how do we bring a presence to them.
Yeah.
Open our heart to them without judgment.
Yeah.
To bring forgiveness.
Yeah.
The essence.
Yeah.
Pat Quinn, thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity to have a conversation to you about the heart of connection.
Thank you.
Pleasure.